a thesis. Okay, Samba in principle has the, well, the problem with innovation that its primary or first goal is to like re-implement Microsoft's protocols. Of course, and this all these things, and we can get benefit from adding groupware support and so on, and having open source replacements for proprietary stuff that runs under Linux. That's very good. But I mean, if you want to get really more visionary and say what can be real innovation, what I was always thinking is that, and this is more, it's really very crude a vision, that it would be great if we could integrate Samba's services more into, let's say, the Linux world, with authentication, with user structures, and so on. But there, the lever the Samba team has is too small, probably. I mean, people have tried to say, okay, couldn't we get SIDS in the Linux kernel or something like that, or proper ECLs? And this is a very long road, and things are going on there currently. For instance, there are discussions going on with the Linux people how ECL models can be extended in Linux, and how concepts like leases and so on can be improved to match more the semantics that are there in the Windows world, so that interoperability can be increased. So this is the vision where true innovation can happen probably in the future, but it's a very difficult thing, to my opinion.
Yeah, this is actually a very good comment, and it's something that I didn't want to go back to because I got in so much trouble last time I said this. My answer will get me in trouble again. This is why I was very unhappy that Samba moved to GPLv3. Because moving Samba code into the kernel is now impossible. Yes, ideas, concepts, true. But the actual code is excluded from the kernel with that. And we actually had just recently a request for a complete re-implementation of TLOC under GPLv2 for exactly the same reason.
Yeah, but moving the Samba code into the kernel, it has to be rewritten anyway, because the style of programming inside the kernel, the requirements of the kernel space are different, so you have to consider that. I don't think that's a real question. If you wanted to put something in the kernel, you have to start thinking about it in a whole new way anyway.
It isn't. So the challenge here is, if you have a compatible license, then you can take the code and modify it, versus if you have an incompatible license, you are back to silly clean room re-implementation ideas. And I mean, the reason why I didn't bring it up in my talk is because I don't think that's the major hurdle. I mean, I was just trying to respond directly to the comment here. It's just, there was someone in the back.
So Samba's made its name in interoperability, reverse engineering, these fields of making sure things interoperate. I'm going to contend that the need for things to interoperate and the need for Linux to interoperate with the rest of the world, and for Star NIX to interoperate with the rest of the world, and for some suite to provide this functionality is not going to go away anytime soon. Whether we call it SMB1, SMB2, something that provides WinBind type functionality for authentication, no matter what that piece is, there's going to be something that needs to get in there and do that piece of dirty work, to interoperate with Microsoft, to interoperate with Google, to interoperate with whoever. And probably you're going to find that under Samba.
Awesome, thank you.
I just want to point out that if Oracle win their case, re-implementing TLOC under GPLv2 will be a copyright violation.
Speaking clearly not as an Intel employee, speaking clearly just as an open source nerd, that is the most disgusting thing I've heard in such a long time. The ability to copyright an API and sue somebody who implements that same API that is so entirely ridiculous, so entirely wrong. I'm just speechless, speechless about this. So, yeah, sorry. But what do you expect if you take people who have no idea how software works and make them a jury of peers and have them decide truly difficult technology questions? That just doesn't work. Anyway, I think I stand between you and lunch, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, we still have enough time. If there are questions, we're about 20 minutes early.
Oh.
Dirk, I appreciated your little presentation here. I'd just like to declare that about a year ago, I switched to using a tablet. And that's changed my perspective on how I use a computer, how I use information systems. But I've discovered, not only as one gets older does he suffer the effects of gravity, well, you know, the hair that used to be on top goes to the chin, and
I hate these mirrors.
And not only do we start to suffer amnesia, which is a wonderful disease because every day is a new learning experience, but I've discovered that that our IT environment suffers from two serious medical conditions. The first, I declare, is digital anorexia. This is a very skinny device compared with that thunderous big computer I used to use.
Yes.
It's anorexia unlimited.
Yes.
And the second one is digital amnesia. We all have so much stuff stuffed away in the corners of our repositories, and we can't find it anymore. And those are two problems. The anorexia is so extreme, the tool is almost unusable. We need something that's far more spontaneous, far more natural to use. And we've got to start finding our memories again. This is troublesome.
So I totally agree with you. The thing that I find fascinating is I have this wonderful phone that is so powerful. But most every web page I go to, I start rotating the phone and zoom in, zoom out. It's just the screen size kills me, and even on the tablets, it's horrible. I'm used to my 30-inch 2560 by 1600 display, and that's where you can actually get work done. The phones certainly don't cut it. But that's part of the challenge to me, because we see a lot of people switch to tablets and phones, and we see a lot of people believe that they can actually get their work done with them. And when you have one of your coworkers in this state of amnesia, and you start getting all these horrifically misspelled and occasionally autocorrection funny top-posted emails from them that respond to the first third of the email that you send to them because more they didn't see, yeah. But the reality is, if you talk to the CIA of a CIO, not CIA, sorry. I don't talk to the CIA on a regular basis. If you talk to the CIO of any large enterprise, you will see on their top 10 list of challenges is how do I deal with my iPad users? Because so many people think it's cool, they like the consumption aspect of it. I mean, I don't have one, my wife has one, she loves it. So it is a challenge. We need to figure out what we do about it. But I want to come back to the comment we had a couple of minutes in the back. I'm sorry, I don't know your name.
I'm Mauro.
Mauro, okay. I thought that comment was very important because interoperability is one of the major challenges that exactly you describe here. The different devices, the different ways in which they, on the one hand, display information, on the other hand, in which you interact with them. The different needs they create for authentication, for data storage, for all these things. There will continue to be a huge need for interoperation technologies, and maybe that is the spot where Samba will continue to grow and continue to be an exciting technology. I'm still waiting for the You're Wrong post from Jeremy on Friday. Don't let me down.